You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Listen, I'm just trying to get that. You said you want to talk about climate change, but what effect does climate change have on this phenomenon that is happening now? Because it seems these storms are intensifying. That's the question.
I don't think you can link climate change to any one event. Okay. On the whole, on the cumulative, climate change may be making storms worse, but to link it to any one event, I would caution against that.
Okay. Well, listen, I grew up there, and these storms are intensifying. Something is causing them to intensify.
And I'm Don Lemon, and I know more than you do, even though you're the head of the National Hurricane Center. This is September 28, 2022. Don Lemon Fruitcake challenging the head of the National Hurricane Center, Dr. Jamie Rome, basically, that, well, it's got to be linked to climate change. That's what he's suggesting. He said, I grew up there. I know there seemed to be, there's got to be some connection. And the National Hurricane Center director deals with science. He's really more concerned about what's happening now for the Florida residents and their life and safety, not debate climate change. But that is exactly what you see the leftist constantly trying to do. He's not the only one. Don Lemon Fruitcake is not the only one who came forward and pushed that notion. I'll show you more a little bit later. I want to remind you, in 2012, Ron Emanuel, chief of staff for Obama, was stating, never let a good crisis go to waste. And he got a lot of credit for that, saying, see, and that's true, because the Democrats, anytime there's a crisis, they're going to jump on it. If there's a school shooting, jump on it. It's got to be gun control. If there's anything they can tie to some Republican, jump on it. This statement, I should point out, actually originated with Winston Churchill in the 1940s when he was working to create the United Nations after World War II. But, of course, it's complete political fodder for the Democrats now. Never let a crisis go to waste, and we have a crisis right down Florida. At last report, Hurricane Ian inundating Naples already, historic storm surge, the destructive eye wall now moving in that area. And this thing is covering the entire Florida, state of Florida. It's moved north of the Keys, but from there all the way up to Jacksonville, from the east coast, rather from the west coast to the east coast, everyone's being affected. And hurricane force winds are even being felt on the east coast side. We'll break it down for you more coming up. Also coming up, we're going to take a look at what is happening when it comes to the abortion push by Democrats. Some are saying they are no longer the pro-choice policy party. They're simply the abortion party. We're going to be joined by Dick Morris, who wrote the book, The Return of Trump, the Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. And Dick Morris says, yeah, Democrats are going to milk this abortion thing as far as they can. And he says, we need to fight back. We're going to talk about that with Dick Morris later. And coming up also, we're going to look at what's happening with Russia, Ukraine. And in particular, the Russian Nord Stream pipelines under the Baltic Sea, where the explosions occurred. Question was that an accident? Was it sabotage? Was some foreign entity involved? Did Russia do it by themselves, trying to shut off any supply just to show how difficult it's going to be to resume anything from Russia? There's a report now that U.S. helicopters were seen near the area within hours before the explosion happened. We're going to be joined a little bit later by my guest, retired Lieutenant Colonel, Marine Colonel Dakota Wood. He's going to discuss what happened to those pipelines, what's happening in Russia, the fact that Russians are trying to flee that country, get out of there. The U.S. Embassy has told Americans, get out of there. You might be drafted into the Russian military or have to go to jail, so you best leave now. And then in the midst of all this, too, we still have some strange things happening. Then how many illegals Biden has led into the country now would populate, outpopulate, eight different states? Put them all together, he's let more illegals in than these eight states have. And then Oklahoma Children's Hospital that was talking about doing transsexual medicine for kids, there's been a change. You want to hear that story? We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air right now. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
$12 to $18 is now the expected surge. It's simply because the storm has been in the water and has been so strong for so long. Now we know the bubble under the storm is even greater than it would have been had it stayed 140. Look at the area that will be 110 miles per hour wind or more. This scares me a lot, so I'm glad I have this graphic. But here's the south part of Tampa Bay, all the way up, moving up toward Orlando, which is only right there, and then back down toward Naples. That area will pick up winds of 110 or higher. And then here, this is all this orange. This is hurricane to 110. So a large swath of area is going to lose power. We already have 104,000 in Florida already without power. And more rain going to come down. This is going to be flooding. Pumps aren't going to be working. You know, rainfall coming down to 2 feet. High risk of flash flooding today. Same story for tomorrow.
That's a report from CNN earlier, about 2.5 hours ago, about how bad things were getting. The governor just wrapped up a news conference and saying again, you need to shelter down where you are. Don't try to be moving around now. It's too late. Now, the latest reports coming out of the Florida area, you heard him referring to it was being approaching Naples. Apparently, the hurricane has already hit Naples. Historic storm surge, they're reporting, in the Naples area. And by historic, they're talking about, again, massive amounts of water they've never seen before. All of this might save Tampa Bay area residents some because it came in south of them. Bradenton, Naples, that area. If you're not familiar with Florida, just understand that Tampa would be above those, about mid-state and moving on down. But this hurricane has a wall that reaches, and fierce winds that reach out well past the eye. 200,000 power outages reported already, and according to DeSantis a few moments ago, that's a drop in the bucket, a drop in the bucket compared to what's going to be coming. And you have to keep in mind, these winds are stretching all the way across Florida, even to the East Coast. They're going to get hurricane-force winds on the East Coast, anywhere from basically, I would say, Palm Beach area, north into Jacksonville. It's going to be almost like they've got a hurricane just off the side of Florida, and it may well traverse right across Florida, somewhere up near the Panhandle or a little lower, and then go back into sea, and then they'll move up the East Coast. A lot of that's yet to be decided. I'm not a meteorologist. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm just saying if you got friends and relatives down there, everybody in Florida is pretty much under a watch, and in addition to the threats of hurricanes that could be spawned off, much less rising water, heavy rains, and high winds. They're going to need a lot of prayers down there. They're going to need a lot of help, but it's over with, because, as I said, the governor says this 200,000 without power, this is going to be a drop in the bucket. Already numerous homes are being reported flooded. That's not going to cease, because, as you heard the CNN weathercaster say, if you have no power, then you're not going to have any way to get that water out of the area. Your pumps are going to cease. But in the midst of all of this, the Democrats see an opportunity to play politics. Just yesterday, even before the storm actually hit Florida, Senator Amy Klobuchar was saying, oh, you know, we're taking action, and she's almost basically suggesting if you vote Democrat, you will wipe out hurricanes forever. In fact, this one could have been stopped. Listen to the senator.
We just did something about climate change for the first time in decades. That's why we've got to win this as that hurricane bears down on Florida. We got to win in the midterms. We understand that.
They understand how to push the buttons. They do know that. And climate change, that's a big button for progressives. Not all Democrats buy into that to the extent that the progressives want them to, but they're going to continue to push the button. And why not do it right here in the midst of a tragedy, a massive tragedy, hitting especially a red state? I wouldn't be surprised if we see gleeful cheer from some of the blue states that, ha ha, see, Florida got what it had coming. But there are a lot of Democrats that now live there that were in California inside it cost us too much, or New York City, and they're all caught in the suffering too. And they're all going to suffer. It's not going to make a difference. But again, why let a crisis go to waste? And Don Lemon began it today in his new program. Remember, he doesn't have his late program anymore because they didn't want to be so polarizing, I get. That was the theory. And they're going to take Don Lemon Fruitcake off of the Don Lemon Show and move into the morning so he'd be maybe more of a true journalist. Well, if that was the intent, when you hear Don's first question to the head of the National Hurricane Center, you get the idea he's nowhere near a journalist.
Can you tell us what this is and what effect climate change has on this phenomenon?
Well, we can come back and talk about climate change at a later time. I want to focus on the here and now.
Which is what Don Lemon Fruitcake should have been doing at that point in his morning CNN report. But why not throw climate change into it? I mean, after all, just the day before, Senator Amy Klobuchar said, yeah, we've already put a big bill in effect for dealing with climate change, and this kind of thing we need to do to stop hurricanes. Or at least words similar to that. They want you to kind of accept it. Don't challenge it, just accept it. Forget the science. Forget the science of the National Hurricane Center. But, again, Don Lemon Fruitcake would rather push political science. Yet I want you to take note here. The head of the National Hurricane Center, in responding to him, the National Hurricane Center director, Jamie Rome, tries to put Don Lemon back on track and in his place.
And listen, I'm just trying to get that. You said you want to talk about climate change, but what effect does climate change have on this phenomenon that is happening now? Because it seems these storms are intensifying. That's the question
here. I don't think you can link climate change to any one event. Okay. On the whole, on the cumulative, climate change may be making storms worse, but to link it to any one event, I would caution against that.
Okay. Well, listen, I grew up there, and these storms are intensifying. Something is causing them to intensify.
See, Lemon Fruitcake just pushes forward. Okay, you gave me the science. Well, I'm going to tell you what I know. I live there. They're intensifying. And when he began saying, you said you wanted to talk about climate change, that was because at the beginning, as you heard, Lemon asked him, how does this affect climate change? He said, well, we'll talk about that some other time, but right now I want to talk about what's happening now. So Don Lemon took it to say, so you want to talk about climate change? No, he didn't. He didn't at all. You took and twisted his words again. Now, if they want to do something valid on CNN right now, they should just focus on the damage being caused by the hurricane and how bad it's going to be for residents all across that state. Thousands of linemen are coming in from other states and are off waiting to be sent in once the storm passes to go ahead and start putting power lines back up. It's a massive coordination effort. We're talking about in some areas 3 to 7 days or longer for them to have full power restored. The only good thing so far is no deaths. Now I want to turn your attention to something else that has surfaced that is getting lost in the midst of the hurricane coverage. And it's understandable because obviously that's the most pressing need. And this is not meant to be political. It's just a fact of what happened. And there needs to be some reasoning and questioning as to why. Congressional Democrats want to allocate about $15 million in emergency funding inside their latest spending bill for the FBI to vet Afghan refugees brought to the U.S. back in August. That was 2021, remember? During that military withdrawal. The FBI did not state on how it plans to utilize the money, but said the funding will, quote, support ongoing Afghan refugee resettlement investigative efforts under Operation Enduring Welcome. That's according to the Washington Times as of yesterday. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, who is the Senate Judiciary Committee's top Republican, said the FBI funding request showcases some security failures. He said this funding request makes clear that though contrary to the Biden administration's talking points, vetting failures continue to require the increased attention of federal law enforcement at the taxpayer expense of millions of additional dollars. In other words, we have a lot of Afghan vets in this country we flew in from Afghanistan that might well be criminal or at least terrorist or maybe jihadist. We didn't properly vet them like the Biden administration said so. The FBI says we need to do a better job, so Democrats are going to try to ship them this money to kind of do it on the QT, can you? Don't make too much noise over it. But it's already hit the fan. And in fact, Senator Rand Paul, a Republican of Kentucky, said, you just look back at what happened with this Afghan debacle.
Never in my worst nightmares could I have imagined that an administration would leave $80 billion worth of weaponry to the Taliban. Dozens of planes and helicopters, thousands of armored carriers, hundreds of thousands of automatic weapons, and worst of all, 13 of our brave young men and women. Never in my worst nightmares did anyone or conceive of such a colossal incompetence. Abandoning Bagram Air Force Base will be remembered as one of the worst military decisions in our history. Holding no one accountable, having everyone circle the wagons and say, hey, we all agreed abandoning Bagram Air Force Base was a great idea. This is going to be remembered by the people. Holding no one accountable for letting the base go, it will be remembered.
It will be remembered. And, of course, now we're having to deal with those that we've took out of Afghanistan and flew into the U.S. without proper vetting. There were some that were predetermined because we knew they had helped us when we were in Afghanistan. And we told them that we would get you and your families out because the Taliban takes back over, we know you're going to be on a target list to be executed. So we'll get you out. They'd already given them special visa and they had special papers, but most of those that boarded the planes that came out, they didn't have any papers whatsoever. Very few had the actual approval prior to what happened, the withdrawal. That's not to say that all the Afghans brought in are dangerous to the U.S., but you cannot say that they're not dangerous because we don't know anything about them. And if you're a terrorist, what better way to get into the country than jump on a U.S. Air Force-supplied plane and fly direct into the U.S. of A. and be put on a military base where you can kind of come and go as you want. You want to get an Uber, go downtown? Sure. You don't want to come back? Don't come back. They won't miss you. I want to go deeper into this story because Senator Rand Paul had Secretary of State Blinken in front of him. And he pushed him hard on how bad they bungled this. And more importantly, the next steps are going to be even bigger landmines. His name is Antony Blinken, and he was Blinken as he was hit by Senator Rand Paul. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
To add insult to injury, this week you've now released $64 million in aid to Afghanistan. Don't we have some prohibition against giving aid and comfort to the enemy? Now, the argument from the Biden administration is, oh, we're giving it to charities, and it's for the good of the people, for poor people, and for women. Well, the Taliban has a history of taking this. Throughout their governance, they would take the money. This was a big complaint we had when they were in power the last time. They now have $80 billion worth of weapons, 350,000 automatic weapons. Are we really naive enough to believe that we're just going to keep sending charity to Afghanistan and they're not going to interrupt it? I think that's a foolish notion.
I'd say it's more than foolish. I'd say it's absolutely stupid. That was, again, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, in a congressional hearing addressing Secretary of State Antony Blinken. And he's right to point out that all this money that we've been sending, and this is in addition to all the equipment we left behind. Now, Blinken wants to make you believe, listen, the equipment we left behind, it won't be usable at your period of time. They won't be able to maintain it. They won't be able to get part, blah, 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 blah. I don't know how much. First of all, let's say they have a chopper they want to get up in the air, and it's not working. Well, they're going to cannibalize some of the others they've got, and they've got plenty to choose from because we just simply left them there. And then we want to send money, and they claim that they're going to be helping women. And they do not help their women. The Taliban will not even let them go to school past basic grades. And women who don't cover their hair or bear any part of their body, they could be executed on the spot, stoned to death. And no one says a word. Better not, anyway. And for all of you progressives who think, well, we need to be doing more over there, well, you need to keep in mind they will use you as much as they can, and then they'll dispatch with you. In other words, off with your head. I'm just waiting for someone to try to start an LGBTQ movement in the midst of the Taliban. Good luck with that. Now maybe you understand the value of this country and the freedoms you have here. But Senator Rand Paul had a question to Blinken, and this is a pressing point because this involves your money again.
The $64 million, though, is the tip of the iceberg. There's still about $10 billion out there that was designated for the Afghan government. Can you pledge today without equivocation that the Biden administration will not release any of this money to the Taliban?
Absent the Taliban making good on the commitments and expectations of the international community that I've outlined previously, that's correct.
Maybe we could deduct a fee for the weapons they took. You can't say you're not going to give them the money. If they behave, you're going to give them the money. Why don't we subtract the $80 billion from the $10 billion you're going to give them? Then they're minus 70 still. I mean, really, the fact that you're entertaining good behavior, that they'll get more money, I think is a big mistake and a naive notion that we're going to somehow change this Stone Age philosophy by giving them more of our money. We've sunk trillions of dollars over this. This is our chance to have a peace dividend. Let's quit sending good money after bad.
Excellent point. And those statements were made before word came out today that congressional Democrats are trying to get another $15 million in emergency funding in the latest spending bill for the FBI to vet Afghan refugees are in the U.S. They begin to realize we have an issue, and we have a problem, Houston. We now have something at 70,000 or more Afghans already relocated in the U.S. There were some 120,000 taken out of Afghanistan when it fell. We took 70,000 of them. We were told they're being properly vetted. Right now, they're spread all over the nation. A lot of them have been gathering in Oklahoma City. About 50 arrive each week, sometimes 100 or more. And, of course, these folks have fled their lives. They do need asylum if they're coming here for that, unless they're coming here mixed in with those who really need asylum, and they're coming here to set up terrorist cells. I want to get into this issue because we're also going to see the same thing happen with a lot of the Russians flooding out of the Russian territory with the Ukraine war. And also the big questions about the Russian pipeline explosions. Who's responsible for that? My guest coming up is an expert at military affairs. You want to hear his impression and his thoughts when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime will help.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've heard from my next guest several times, and you can see him on various national broadcasts as well. Always glad for the time he can give my audience. Retired Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Marines, 20 years in the Marines. Dakota Wood, now with the Heritage Foundation, expert military affairs. Semper Fi, and welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Larry, always a blessing to be with you and your crew. Great.
All right, so I've got a lot of questions to run through. And original, when we were reaching out for you today, I wanted to get a response from you as to who's really winning in Ukraine. I mean, we keep seeing conflicting stories and pictures, and yet I see Putin is doing what he calls a partial mobilization, basically reactivating those who've served at all, and we're seeing Russians flee the country, especially their young men. To me, they don't think they're winning, or they're going to end up in the front line anyway.
Yeah, you know, Churchill famously observed that truth is the first casualty of war. So,
yeah.
You know, Ukraine is saying that Russia has lost, you know, 50,000 killed or more. Russia is saying they've only lost 5,000 or 6,000 killed. So, you know, what is truth? But clearly, as you just said, 150, 200, 300,000 young Russian males are trying to get out of there. You know, they're heading south toward Georgia. They're heading into Kazakhstan, borders, you know, that don't require a visa, just a Russian passport. They want no part of what's going on in Ukraine. You're seeing street protests going on, mothers who have lost sons. And, you know, you recall the Russian invasion into Afghanistan, you know, that toward the end of that, it was moms that came out and protesting, holding up pictures of their sons that have been lost in that war. So this kind of stuff is coming up. And yet, it seems that in general, the public is still in support of Ukraine, of Putin's invasion of Ukraine, and the criticism.
No, you're talking about the Russian. You're talking about the Russian public.
Yeah, yeah, the Russian public is still in support of Putin, and the criticism has been, "Hey, why aren't you winning?" You know, which would cause him to double down all the more. So it's almost like one of these day by day, week by week sorts of things. So to your original question about who's winning, I think it's kind of a stalemate. I mean, you know, Ukraine had this great counteroffensive, took back some areas, largely because supported by the West with weapons, but also Russia had pulled back to solidify its position there in the East and in the South, you know, around the Crimea Peninsula and along the Black Sea coastline. So both of these competitors, both of these countries are repositioning themselves as opportunity allows, right? And so I think that, you know, again, as we've talked before, this thing is going to go weeks, months, easily into 2023, if not 2024. And so it's just going to be, you know, a continued reporting of losses, advances, you know, pushbacks. And Ukraine is only able to sustain its effort because of the weapons that have been provided from the West.
Now,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Know,
will U.S., Germany, and others continue to support? I mean, that's the real question here.
All right. Now, my understanding, of course, I'm of the belief that we waited too late to start sending stuff anyway when we saw the troops massing around. They say they're just going to do maneuvers. And then we didn't want to actually go direct to them once the war started. And then there's a question about a lot of that equipment's been, maybe only a third of it actually got to Ukraine. Where the hell did it go, if that's true?
Yeah, so our folks that have been really looking into this, myself and others, there isn't clear evidence that a lot of, you know, silliness has been going on. In other words, that the weapons and the missiles and those sorts of things really are getting into the hands of Ukrainian fighters. The question in the provision of aid is when you give them cash, you know, for salaries and humanitarian assistance, what's happening to that, right? So I think that is where, at least on the conservative side of of the American spectrum, there's real questions. You know, is this just a blank check? And we don't want to do that, right?
But we tend to do
that. The weapons and bullets are good.
Yeah, but we tend to just drop money into a hole and walk away. Now, here's something that had been brought to my attention, and we talked yesterday about an explosion on the Nord Stream pipeline under the Baltic Sea. And I had not planned on discussing it with you directly, but now there's information coming out that indicates that U.S. helicopters were seen above that area just days ahead of it. So there are claims of sabotage and that perhaps the helicopters might have been involved, U.S. helicopters. There's even a member of the European Parliament apparently thanking the U.S. following the explosions. What do we have here, sabotage, and was it the Americans? And what would be the purpose at this point?
Yeah, so we don't know who. I think it's fairly certain that it is sabotage. The Nord Stream system, there's Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2, both of them have two pipelines, so a total of four pipelines. Nord Stream 1 has been in operation for about a decade. Nord Stream 2 has been completed but is not yet active in terms of providing gas flow from Russia into Northern Europe. Yeah, that would put the kibosh on that.
That was going to Germany, Germany, and they didn't activate it yet, correct?
That's correct. So, but it's been charged, you know, to keep everything lubricated and warm, right? So there was gas in there. But of those four total pipelines, steel pipelines encased in concrete, three of them have been damaged, and the pressure has gone down to zero, from 1,500 PSI down to 100. So there were three explosions that were noted. That's not going to be natural. It's got to be sabotage. So the question then is for a concrete encased steel pipeline, 200 to 250 feet below the surface of the ocean, who can do that, right? So those countries up in the Baltic Sea, which is where this occurred, are all very modern. You know, you got Germany and Sweden and Finland and Norway and Russia, Ukraine, you know, pushes up in that area. So who has the technical ability to get down to the ocean floor and to damage these pipelines? And I think the obvious candidates are, it could be the U.S. What would we get out of that? I think that begs the question. Russia could do that sabotage to push up energy costs in Europe,
right,
and penalize, you know, Britain and everybody else. And they can go back in and repair those things and then charge that cost to their customers, right? Maybe Ukraine is a false flag operation. They damage it, but then everybody blames Russia. And so it, you know, it gets additional support on Ukraine's behalf. Norway just opened a brand new pipeline, but it really, is it in their interest or in their cultural behavior, you know, to conduct that kind of sabotage? And I just think that, you know, strains credulity, right? So most people are saying this is a Russian operation, even though it's their own pipeline. They can repair it at some point, but it punishes Great Britain and Germany and Poland and others by jacking up energy costs. So,
and,
you know, it's yet to be determined the nature of the damage.
And again, even that could be a false flag blame the Americans for it. Especially, have you seen anything about these U.S. choppers in that area shortly in the days or so before this happened?
I had not, but I do know that the U.S. Navy and U.S. military personnel constantly work with the Norwegians, Swedes, and the Finns and others up in that area, you know, on just standard NATO operations.
So it could have been standard.
Finland or soon to join. Yeah, that would be standard stuff. And I can't imagine a munition dropped from a helicopter that goes 200 feet below the water and precisely pinpoints, you know, a pipeline. I think this is a submersible, or, you know, swimmers out of a mini sub, something like that.
Something like a Navy SEAL operation, either,
could
as you
be.
Say, from submersible.
Yeah.
But again, right now, with the folks trying to get out of Russia, the U.S. Embassy, they told Americans, you need to get out or you might be pulled into the Russian military. They're opening the jail cells, even letting convicted killers and rapists out, so you can either stay in jail or you can go to the front and fight.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of front are they going to have when they're sending people under that kind of threat to the front line, as to if they're not going to just strip off their uniform and go the other side anyway?
Yeah, well, this is cannon fodder. You know, it's just pushing people who are ill-trained, that you can, you know, carry a rifle and pose some kind of a threat to Ukrainian forces. So all of their frontline units that were pushed in, you know, in the initial stages in February, March, and April, they've suffered some severe casualties. So Putin is really having to reach out into the dregs, you know, of society, and to reservists who maybe served in the military 10 years ago or something like that. But they're not going to be effective in terms of really skilled operators. But they are people that can pull a lanyard, throw a grenade, you know, shoot a rifle, right? So if you can push more people into that meat grinder than Ukraine can, well, just by brute force, you know, World War One tactics,
right,
you might be able to hold ground and make advances. And so that's the extent to which Putin is wanting to go to continue, you know, this investment of Russian capital and blood into seizing parts of Ukraine.
And in the last 20 seconds, is Putin going to stay in power?
Right now, yes. There are rumors of, you know, various attempts at a coup. A lot of his critics seem to fall off of balconies and out of windows and rooftops. So, you know, that's his technique to get rid of critics of his. But right now, it seems that his hold on power is fairly stable.
All right. As always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Great, a blessing for me to always be with you. Thanks.
You bet. Dakota Wood, retired Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Marines, 20 years, now with the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, Joe Biden calls for a member of Congress to show up, and this is embarrassing. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. so it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving, are the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping around the door. You ain't nothing but a hound, dog. Been snooping around the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And so many of you know so much about this as well, and you're committed. And I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
That was a bad thing. Let me explain why. That was President Biden calling out a Republican congresswoman for her help on dealing with the national effort to stop hunger. He was thanking her among the others you heard him mention, and was wanting her to also stand and be recognized. Not clear if he was reading off the teleprompter at the moment that he gave a shout out to Jackie, but it was a mistake. See, here's the issue. Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, Republican of Indiana, died in a car wreck last August. The president had issued a statement after her death, released by the White House August 3rd, praising her effort and her deep care for the needs of rural America. So the White House put out the statement. Whether or not Biden was actually aware of it, I don't know. But it was pretty public that she died in a car wreck. It's national news. And in Congress, they put a wreath of flowers on her seat for a period of time. But again, here Joe Biden, and I got to tell you, I don't think he's reading off the prompter. Maybe he just decided to throw it in and that memory blank hit him.
And so many of you know so much about this as well, and you're committed. And I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
He says, I don't think she was going to be here, or I think that's what he said. It's kind of hard the way he's slurring his words, but he absolutely forgot the woman died back in August. And he'd even sent a statement out acknowledging it. That's going to give more ammunition to those who say the man is not capable of continuing the job. I do want to point out something he has done that is going to affect this nation for decades to come. Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security has released 1.3 million border crossers and illegal aliens into our U.S. communities. Governor Abbott sends buses up to New York City and may be totaling something like 10,000 total illegals shipped up to New York City. Governor DeSantis sends 50 to Martha's Vineyard, and the left is going wacko. Biden has released 1.3 million border crossers and illegals. They are illegal if they come across our border, if we're enforcing our border. And the U.S. Constitution says we should. This would exceed, somebody's done the study on this, said that 1.3 million would exceed the residential populations of Wyoming, Vermont, Alaska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Rhode Island, Montana. 8 states. The number releases twice the population of Boston. Nearly 3 times that of Atlanta, Georgia. Some came for asylum reasons, but they're supposed to stay where they are until their asylum's worked out. Now, they know how to play the game, and they do it. They claim asylum the moment they come across, or they bring children so maybe they have a better chance to get in. And in the meantime, White House is now offering asylum to Russians who are fleeing their country because they might be forced into the military, as we were discussing a moment ago. Again, we are a nation built of immigrants, and asylum is one of the legitimate reasons we allow people to get in ahead of others just wanting to come here. But many of them are coming with little or no training and ability to provide. We're going to increase the homeless population. We're already doing that. And then here's what they're doing in Seattle, Washington. They're proposing building a facility, a 500-person homeless shelter that would cost $66 million to construct, $66 million to construct, $22 million a year to run to take care of 500 homeless. But they're also making sure they put it in the Seattle, Washington, Chinatown area. And the Chinatown residents are extremely upset. One of them, in addressing the council, said, "You got to stop this. This shelter will kill all of us." In fact, she said, "Why don't you build this megaplex near you guys, and you guys can see what's going on?" Well, again, the fine folks of Seattle, Washington, they want to take care of the homeless, but not in my backyard. It's the same standard hypocrisy. Coming up, the network news will have the latest on Ian, and we'll have more as well on the second hour. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.